Welcome back. In this lesson, we're diving into a really effective low-end pressure method for jungle and old-school drum and bass, warping a mid-bass layer in Ableton Live 12 so the bass doesn't just sit there, it moves with the groove. And that's the key idea here. We are not trying to make a giant static bass note or a super-polished modern Reese that just fills space. We want a bass phrase that feels rhythmic, slightly unstable, and alive in a controlled way. That movement is a huge part of classic jungle energy. It gives the track that pushed forward, sample-era attitude that makes the drums and bass feel like they're in conversation. So the basic formula is this. The sub handles the true weight, the mid-bass handles the motion and attitude, and the drums provide the engine. If those three layers are working together, the whole thing starts to feel like pressure. Let's build it step by step. First, start with the drums. Before you even think about bass, get the groove right, load a classic breakbeat, or program your own pattern with kick, snare, hats, and maybe the chopped break layer if you want that extra jungle texture. A good starting tempo is somewhere around 165 to 170 BPM for that old-school feel, though anywhere in the 160s to low 170s will work. The important thing is this. Leave space. If your drums are too busy, the bass won't have anywhere to breathe. And in this style, the bass has to hit into the gaps. That's where the power comes from. Once the drum foundation is working, create your mid-bass source. You can use a synth like Wavetable or Operator, or you can sample a bass phrase and bounce it to audio. Both approaches work well. If you're using Wavetable, try a saw or a square oscillator, maybe with a second oscillator slightly detuned. Keep the unison light, not super wide. Add a low-pass filter with a bit of resonance, short attack, medium decay, and a little drive. You want it to sound solid, but not finished yet. If you're using Operator, a sine or triangle can give you a cleaner old-school body. You can add a touch of FM if you want a sharper jungle edge, but keep it subtle. Record a simple one-bar or two-bar phrase that follows the root notes. Don't overcomplicate the MIDI. The warp movement is going to do a lot of the expressive work. Now comes the heart of the method. Turn that bass into audio and warp it. Bounce it, freeze and flatten it, or resample it, then double-click the clip and enable warp. This is where Ableton Live 12 becomes really powerful for this technique. Warping lets you treat the bass like a rhythmic sample instead of just a sustained synth line. Choose the warp mode based on the source. If it's a fuller tonal bass phrase, Complex Pro is usually a good starting point. If it's more chopped or percussive, Beats can give you a tighter, more aggressive feel. If it's a simple monophonic line and you want natural character, Tones can also work well. Now make sure the clip is lined up properly with the grid. Adjust the start marker so the transient hits cleanly. Then use warp markers to pull the phrase into the groove. This is where you stop thinking only about timing correction and start thinking about performance. That's an important mindset shift. Warping is not just a fix. It's a rhythmic tool. Try nudging some notes slightly late for a laid-back bounce, or slightly early if you want more urgency. Stretch one bass hit so it blooms into the space before the snare. Chop the phrase into little call and response moments with the drums. In jungle and old school DNB, that tension and release is everything. A really useful trick is to think about the snare as that anchor point. If the snare lands on beat 2, try placing a bass hit on that before it, let it decay into the snare, and then answer after the snare. That tiny pocket of space creates pressure. The bass feels like it's pushing against the drums without stepping on them. Once the warp feels musical, it's time to process the bass so it sits with authority. A solid chain here is a Q8, saturator, drum bus or overdrive, compressor with sidechain, utility, and then maybe redux or roar if you want extra bite. You don't have to use all of them, but that's a strong starting point. Start with EQ8. Clean up the low end on the mid-bass layer so it doesn't fight the sub. If there's muddy buildup around 200 to 400 Hz, cut that a bit. If you want more character, you can bring up some presence around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz. And if the top end gets fizzy or harsh, tame the area around 3 to 6 kHz. The main rule here is simple. Don't let the mid-bass take over the sub region. Let the sub own the true weight. Next, add saturator for density and pressure. A few dB of drive can make the bass feel closer, thicker, and more physical. Turn soft clip on, and keep an eye on your output so you're not just making it louder. This is about energy, not volume. Drum bus is also very useful for this style. It can add aggression, transient shape, and harmonics that make the bass feel a little dusty and sample-like. Use it carefully though. A little drive can go a long way. If the bass starts sounding too sharp, back off the transients or dampen the high end. Then add sidechain compression. The bass has to breathe around the kick and snare. Put a compressor after your saturation and set the sidechain input from the kick. A ratio somewhere around 2 to 4 to 1 is a good range. Attack and stay fairly fast, maybe 1 to 10 milliseconds, and release somewhere around 50 to 120 milliseconds, depending on the groove. You want maybe 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction, not a giant pump unless that's specifically the vibe. If you want the bass to duck before the snare slams through, you can also use ghost triggers. Duplicate the snare hits to a muted MIDI track and feed that into the sidechain input. That's a very useful technique for making the bass give the snare more room without killing the energy. After that, check the stereo image. Use utility to keep the low end tight. The bass, especially the sub, should stay mono or nearly mono. If the warped bass is too wide, it may sound impressive in headphones, but fall apart on a club system. So keep the foundation narrow, and only widen higher harmonics if you really need to. This brings us to layer separation, which is absolutely critical. Your sub-layer should be clean and simple. Think sine wave or triangle, mono, following root notes with as little drama as possible. This layer owns the 30 to 90 Hz region. The mid-bass layer is the one that gets warped, saturated, filtered, and processed for attitude. It should probably be high-passed somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz depending on the arrangement. That way it can carry motion and grit without cluttering the bottom. This separation is what gives you that classic weight plus attitude combination. If the bass feels loud but not stronger, usually the issue is that too much energy is stacked in the same frequency band. Think in layers of responsibility. The sub provides weight. The mid-bass provides motion. Now, to make the phrase feel bigger, use arrangement tricks. Don't run the exact same bass loop forever. Introduce it filtered in the intro. Bring in the full warped phrase for the drop. Change one note or warp position every 4 bars. Let certain bars breathe for fills. Pull the bass down for a breakdown. Then bring it back harder. A really classic move is to automate a low-pass filter on the bass layer. Start dark, then slowly open it over 4 or 8 bars, and then shut it back down before a fill or redrop. That kind of tension building works brilliantly in old-school DNB because it makes the bass feel like it's evolving without needing to write a totally new line. Automation is where you add life. Move the filter cutoff. Change the saturator drive. Push a little volume on accent hits. Add a touch of reverb send on selected notes if you want depth, but use that carefully. Even a tiny automation curve can make a loop feel like a performance instead of a loop. And if you want more jungle character, resampling is your secret weapon. Record the processed bass into a new audio track, then slice it up, rewarp it, reverse a few hits, or chop it into a new rhythm. Layer that quietly under the original. This can create those broken, sample-era textures that feel raw, human, and very much in the spirit of classic jungle production. A few common mistakes to watch out for. 1. Don't make the mid-bass too sub-heavy. If it owns the low end, the mix turns muddy fast. 2. Don't over-warp everything. If every hit is pushed around too much, the groove loses its punch. 3. Don't widen the bass too much. Great in solo, weak in the mix. 4. If you distort first and don't EQ after, the tone can get harsh, especially around the upper mids. And 5. Don't overdo the sidechain. The bass should breathe, not disappear. Also, never forget the snare. In drum and bass, the snare is sacred. If the bass fights it, the drop weakens. So always check the bass in context with the drums running. A warped phrase can sound massive on its own and then completely flatten the groove once the snare comes in. Keep listening to the relationship, not just the sound in isolation. Here's a simple practice exercise to lock this in. Build a 2-bar bass loop in Ableton Live 12. Make one clean sub layer with operator or a similar clean source. Then make one mid-bass audio layer, bounce it, warp it, and move 2 or 3 warp markers to create more syncopation. Add EQ8, saturator, and compressor. Put sidechain on the kick. Then compare the straight version with the warped version. Listen for whether the bass feels more rhythmic, whether it leaves room for the snare, and whether it still feels solid in the low end. The goal is to make the warped version feel more alive without becoming messy. If you want to push this further, try alternate warp behaviors between sections or build 2 versions of the same bass phrase, one smoother, one more aggressive. Switch between them every 8 bars. You can also exaggerate transient contrast, with some notes short and punchy and others longer and blooming. That push and hang feeling is a big part of the genre. Another great idea is to split the bass into bands. Keep the low mid band cleaner and more focused, and let the upper mid band get more distortion or filtering. That gives you more control over where the excitement lies. And finally, remember this, The whole point of the low-end pressure method is to make the mid-bass behave like a rhythmic sample inside the mix. You're not just making bass sound bigger, you're making it talk to the break. You're shaping movement, tension, and groove so the low-end doesn't just exist, it drives the track forward. If you get that balance right, your bass won't just be present, it'll pressurize the whole tune. That's the vibe. Now load up live, set the drums, warp that bass, and make it hit with that proper jungle pressure.